All right, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, let's read verse 4 to start with here. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I'm going to preach about marriage this morning for a few minutes. I'm not going to be thorough and lengthy with it, but this is in this last chapter, and there's some important issues here in this last chapter and subjects to deal with that we really need to not go off and leave going to somewhere else. I want to deal with them before we get done here. Let me read you some more scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28. It's familiar. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He man, created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's a foundational thing in God's creation, male and female, marriage. You can't have marriage unless you have male and female. That's fact. I don't care what this crazy world says or thinks. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So we know that God created first Adam. He created Adam first, and Adam was alone. The Bible's clear about that. And God said it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll just throw this in, but I mean, I've noticed this through life and watching people, and I think it's a lot easier for the women to be alone than it is for the men to be alone. A woman that's widowed seems to get along a lot better than a man who's widowed. It's not good for a man to be alone. I think, in a lot of ways, he needs her more than she needs him. That's just a fact of life that I've observed. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21 and 20 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Pretty plain, isn't it? Marriage is the will of God, with very few exceptions. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now God says it's a good thing. The world you live in says it's a bad thing. The world you live in says it's a thing to be avoided at all costs. It's a waste of time. It's meaningless. It's chains. You know the word for wife in Spanish? Do you, anybody know what it is besides my family? Esposas. You know what the word for wife is? Esposa. So in their language, they even say that. A wife is like having handcuffs. That's the world's attitude, see. It really is. I'm glad English doesn't do that. And I don't know where that came from, but that's fact. That's the way it is. There's another word, but they don't use that. A virtuous woman, Proverbs 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, there we have a negative mention also. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Marriage is honorable in all. But it can be a terrible situation to be in also. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. That's your portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Life's supposed to be happy. God's fixed it so that we can have a blessed life, a happy life. We can live joyfully with the wife and not fight all of our life. You can't live joyfully with a wife and not be miserable. That's right. It's so, we've been brainwashed for so long and so many generations, so many decades here, that everybody has this negative attitude towards one of the foundational things that God established. Everything's been broken down. The genders. And marriage. Everything that's foundational to God's creation of man. That the way God created it, so that it would work, and it would all be a lesson. But sin has just turned everything upside down. I got a couple more verses I want to read here before we get started. Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 12. 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then in verse 28 it says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So now that's the way that it's supposed to be. Is it always that way? Of course not. We all know that. You know, I've preached on marriage before and stressed on the truth of it. And so before I get started, I don't know of anybody who's in this situation in here. I don't. But I've preached before in places where there were people who were divorced and all kinds of things that happened, or who had a miserable marriage. And it makes them feel like that they're being attacked or something, or that they're being condemned. That's not it at all. A person who's been divorced and their marriage has broken up ought to be the very first one to, and the loudest amen in the church when somebody's preaching on marriage and God's way and will in it and how it's supposed to be. Because they know firsthand all of the hurt and destruction and misery that it causes. They know firsthand what it's like to do this wrong. So they ought to be shouting, amen, preacher, tell them how to do it right so they don't end up like this. Instead of being offended because they're not covered some way. All right, marriage is honorable in all. It's from the mind of God. We got to remember that. This is not an invention of man. This is not a cultural construct. This is from the mind of God. It was God who thought of it first. He made the man. He said it's not good for the man to be alone. And by the way, God is God, and He didn't do this. It's given to us in that order so we can understand what He was doing. He didn't just make a man say, well, I forgot something. I need to fix something else here. That's not how it was at all. He had the whole thing in mind before He ever started. It's only in sequence for our benefit, so that we can understand why He did it a little better. It is from the mind of God, marriage is. So anything, and it's meant as a blessing. It's ordained by God. And so anything that's said contrary to it is against God. I mean, you're contradicting God. If you talk marriage down, like, boy, I won't get married, that's the worst thing you can do. What's the use of getting married? Blah, blah, blah. It's encouraged by God. I've read you a bunch of verses here. Every one of them encourages marriage. The whole Bible does. And it's blessed by God. It's what God blesses. It's where children are given in the proper way, in the proper manner. Marriage, it's marriage and then children. Not children and then maybe marriage sometime. Yes. What's the meaning of it then when you do it that way? It's confusion. And it's sin. And it hurts people. And the children suffer because of it. And you better not ever doubt that. Marriage is the will of God for men and women, with only very few exceptions, like I said a while ago. Now, the greatest blessings of this earthly life, we read some of them in these verses here. The greatest blessings that we are able to experience in this life spring from marriage. Did you ever think about that? Have you ever thought what life would be like without your wife or your husband? Never have a wife or a husband. Have you ever thought about that? Now, there are some people that live their life like that. Few. But Paul said there's some men who are born eunuchs. There's some men who are made eunuchs by men. And there's some who are eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. But they're few. They're few. Marriage is the will of God. He said that. What did I read there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14? I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It's an honorable thing, marriage is. So it's an honorable thing to seek to be married.
Yes.
In the right way. Mm-hmm. In the will of God. In the way of God. The way that God ordains it. But the greatest blessings of this life sprang from marriage. Order and discipline. Marriage is the best place for that to be learned and practiced in so many ways. Between one another, between the children, with the children, just managing your affairs so you don't starve to death, so you don't lose everything, so you got a place to live. Marriage demands somebody to be responsible. How can a man be responsible as he, you know, how can he if he doesn't have a wife and a family to take care of? Huh? There's just something missing. I've watched people through the life, and this would be offensive to some people also, but I'm telling you, I've watched people through the years, and I've known different couples that I knew when they were young, when they got married, and they had no children, and it wasn't because they couldn't have children. It's because they chose to not have children. They've chosen to be childless. And I've watched them as they're not a complete person. As the older they get, the more it shows there's pieces missing from their thinking, from their maturity, from their understanding about life, from their ability to get along with other people. And it really is. There's things that you learn and wisdom and knowledge and understanding of living with a wife and a husband for a lifetime and raising children and teaching them and then grandchildren. You get stuff from all of that you cannot get any other way. You don't get it from a book. You don't get it from just watching other people. You get it from firsthand experience, and that's the only way that it's burned into you. They think they know. They think they know more than you do. You know, the old saying, the people who don't have children are the ones who are the best ones at raising children. They've never done it.
Yes.
Love, greatest blessings of this earthly life spring from marriage. You don't know what love is until you've been married for a lifetime. Companionship, you always got somebody. You know, a man ought to be able to come home. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it should be. This is the way God means for it to be. Home should be a haven from the world, a sanctuary where the troubles are outside. You know, when you go to work and have to fight it all day, do like the guy who hung it on the tree before he went in the house. And wife, remember, when he comes home, he needs to have some rest in a sanctuary. It needs to be a happy place. And that's up to you to make it that happy place. You can make it or break it. But love and companionship, you ought to always be for one another. That's right. Well, I could veer off on every one of these, but I'm not going to. Happiness. Just being happy. There's no other state that you can be in that'll make you happier than being married and married right. You can't be happier, single, and living the life of Riley. That is a fact. It is the happiest way to live. Or God wouldn't have made it this way. If the Bible wouldn't be so full of marriage is honorable. And the encouragement to marry. And to serve God together. Children. How can you have children and have any kind of a normal life or relationship with them or their mother and their father if you're not married? It doesn't take children long to realize the world around them, and they realize Mom, Dad ain't married. That means they ain't promised one another nothing. That means either one of them leave at any time. They have, on purpose, not committed to one another. So this is just a temporary day-by-day thing. You know what children need? Security. You know what a woman needs? Security. And a man needs that to a great degree. He can't have insecurity in the relationship. Marriage is a fixed thing. You stand before God and witnesses and you vow to love and cherish and honor one another until you die. No matter sickness, health, rich or poor, better or worse. That's a commitment. And that's what marriage is. Some people say, oh, marriage ain't nothing but a paper. No, marriage is much more than a paper. It's a vow. It's a covenant done before God, involving God and one another. And it's unbreakable. You don't just break it. It's the children. What a blessing. Grandchildren. Honor and stability and industry. All that is part of being married and springs from being married more than it does from anything else in life or any other part of life. Wisdom and knowledge that comes only from the experiences of living intimately with a wife or a husband and rearing children and making a living and maintaining a home. You just learn so much from doing all that you cannot learn any other way. And there's no way to even express it in words this morning. You know, that's always the big problem. I remember being young, and I remember how I thought, and I remember how it was, and it's impossible for me to take what I know that I'm trying to say here and put it into your mind. I just can't get you to comprehend it. Life is just that way, about so much. It's just how it works. When you're young, you just think you got it. You think you understand everything you need to know. And it takes you a lifetime to get over that. It takes a lot of hard, hard blows for you to get over that. You have to be emptied before you get over that. And there's all kinds of things that does that to a person. But let me tell you, God knows the recipe. He knows whatever prescription you need that it's going to take for you. No matter how hard-headed, no matter how stubborn, no matter how set on yourself and your ways you are, God knows how to break you and bring you to the place where you don't understand. And you realize how little that you know. I'm getting ahead of myself. Understanding of God comes from being married. More than anywhere else, any other part of life, any other experience of life. Let me put it that way. He's our Father and Christ, who's our heavenly husband and we His bride. You don't understand that stuff until you are a bride, a husband, a father. You really don't get it. You got the idea and you can tell it as good as anybody else how it is. But you don't got it up here. You don't have it here. It's not an experience of yours yet. So, all these things that I've mentioned here can be learned to the fullest outside of marriage. Happiness, honor, love, joy. You can't get it any other way. Now, God has ordained that. Marriage is honorable. It's honorable and all. Don't be saying bad things about marriage. Don't be running it down. Don't be trying to say that it's a better life being single and living free and having your own way and going to bed when you want to and getting up when you want to and going where you want to and not being responsible to anybody or accountable to anybody. You're a fool if you try to put that kind of a selfish, self-worshipping lifestyle and thought process above what God has said. God said marriage is honorable and all. Now, so marriage is a good thing. And it's an honorable thing. If it's entered into according to the will of God. Mark that. But as with all the blessings of God that He's given to man, people have a way of making a mess of it. That's right. You know, burning wood's a good way to heat your house. I do. Let me tell you something. If you don't do it right and you don't pay attention, if you're careless with it and you don't have any regard for what might happen, you burn your house down.
That's right.
Yep.
Getting in a car and riding somewhere is a good way to go places. Get you there a lot faster. But if you get in a car and you don't operate it with care and caution and obey the rules of the road, you can wreck that thing and get yourself and your passengers hurt or killed.
Right.
Marriage is just like that. It's a thing that is a great blessing. It's where most of the blessings of life spring from. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth, you know, and all of these things. Live joyfully with her. You can do that, or you can just wreck the whole thing. It can be the greatest blessing of your life, or the greatest curse, depending on how wisely you enter into it. I told her, I probably told the girls when they were growing up, you know, you're either going to be some man's greatest, the greatest blessing of his life, or you're going to be the greatest curse of his life. And it's up to you. And that's the way it is. Marriage is one of those things that's very critical. And it's very dangerous on the entering in. Because it's a thing to be desired so that we will just push aside anything that all the red lights, we just put black tape over them like your dad did with the car, you know. And then he check engine light, come on, he just put a piece of black tape over them. That fixed that problem. Right, Matt? it don't fix the problem. You just cover it up until all of the problems turn into disasters and nightmares. So, marriage is, by God's design, the best way for people to have the happiest, most blessed, and fruitful life here on earth. It is. It is. It is. It is. We can just stay right there the rest of the message and just hammer that into the ground. Nothing is as rewarding if you stick it out. Nothing is as blessed if you endure to the end. And if you have God in the center of it all. There's just nothing, no substitute. Nothing like it. The restrictions on entering into marriage are few in the Word of God. Do y'all realize that? Have you ever searched your Bible and just tried to find out all the restrictions God put on it? Silence. Crickets. God has drawn some boundaries around who we are to choose from to marry. And there ain't any of you here that have children that haven't done the same thing. Right? Do you think they'll listen to you? Do you think they'll obey your boundaries? Hopefully. They will, out of love and respect and having a little bit of wisdom and the support of a church that'll believe right about this matter. But not everybody does. God did forbid His people to marry strangers, people of the lands around them, and the people who lived in the land that God gave to His people. Now it's plain as day. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. He's talking about the people of the land, where they're going. Do not marry them. Don't let your children marry them. Now, y'all understand that. When you go to putting boundaries on marriage or restrictions and saying, no, shouldn't marry like that, then we're living in a time when everybody's all up in there. See, they don't want no boundaries. But at the same time, people sit in church and you don't want your little girl marrying some earring-wearing, tattoos, dope-smoking, worthless, lazy devil, do you?
No.
Well, that's off limits for you. That's exactly why God said He didn't want to marry these people.
Right.
Try. Let me read you some more. Joshua 23, verses 12 and 13. He said, else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, the nations that God had given their land to the children of Israel, the nations they were defeating as they took the land, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. So besides the fact that they would draw their hearts away from God to their idols, two people, you better listen to me, two people from two totally different backgrounds and views of life and different kinds of people cannot be yoked together in marriage and have what God intended marriage to be. Amen. I don't care who riles up against that, you're wrong. This opposites attract is a fool's game when it comes to marriage. You better take it from somebody who's been married for 45 years. I can tell you, you better be on the same page. You better have something in common. In fact, a lot in common. You better come from the same people. You better have the same background, pretty much. I'm just telling you, you want it to work? You want it to be a blessing? You want it to last a lifetime? You want to be happy? You want to have children that can grow up in a peaceful, unified environment? You better take heed to what I'm telling you right now. I've often wondered, you know, I've watched people marry foreigners, marry out of their race. And people say, there ain't no such a thing as a race anymore.
Yes,
well, how come they're giving, how come they're using race as a criteria for the COVID treatments now, huh?
Yeah.
We're not talking about superior and inferior. We're talking about God's ordinance of marriage. We're talking about being able to have a good marriage and get along through life. God told His people always not to do it. Because it's not going to end well. And it's not going to work well. Yeah, but I know people done it and they're happy as they can be. That's what you think. When opposites get married, they establish their relationship and home in a field full of contention and disagreements. And so, Gary, what you mentioned in Sunday school, they compromise. They compromise. Now, I've been around a while. I've watched people. I know people right now who have married and they're opposites. And they just, all right, here's how they work their life. Well, if you do that, then I'm going to do this. And if you won't do that, then I'll not do this. And if you get that, then I'm going to get this. It's always a battle for equality and evenness. It's just not supposed to be that way at all. It's not bondage. Marriage is not bondage. Marriage is about two becoming one. One. One flesh. What man ever yet hated his own flesh, but cherisheth it and nourisheth it? Is that what the Bible says? Yes, it is. You love one another like yourself. More than yourself. That's what it amounts to. You're not always trying to pull and tug and and have your way. It doesn't work that way. But when you marry opposites, you can count on a lifetime of that right there. Or at least 2 or 3 years until you decide, that's it. Done with this. All right. They have a field, when opposites get married, they establish their relationship and home in a field full of contention and disagreements and differences in tastes and attitudes and much more that just makes life a war zone. God commands people He still commands His people not to be yoked together with unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. Now that's not Romans chapter 7. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. You know, when it comes to, you know, being a preacher and people come and they want you to marry them. You know, I've had people come to me and want me to marry them. Well, the biggest criteria I've got about it is if they're not saved, I don't, you know, and if they're not intending to put God in the center of this, if they're not going to make God any part of this, then I'm no part of it either. Go find somebody else. There's preachers everywhere who do it for $25. Yeah. That's just another thing. I don't think I ever got anybody to give me anything for my marriage. Because the time it was done, they was wishing they'd got somebody else. I remember when Sarah and Ryan got married and we went out the door, Brother Carl stopped me on the way out and he said, "Brother, you tied that knot awful tight." And, "Yes, sir. You better believe it." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Etc., etc. How is being married, being yoked together? You better believe it is. You better not be yoked up with somebody who don't see things like you do. Now this is the mind of God on this matter. Even though we see exceptions in the Bible. You know, we can look in the Bible and first thing somebody will say, Moses married an Ethiopian. Yeah, he did. So what? Does that mean everybody else is supposed to, too? Does that open the door to, well, that's okay because Moses did it. That's the way people look at it. Joseph married the daughter of an Egyptian priest. Boaz married Ruth, a Moabitess. A foreigner who was banned from the congregation of Israel to the 10th generation. But she wasn't. Salmon married Rahab the harlot, who was a woman of Canaan, of Jericho there. And a harlot besides. What we got to keep in mind is what God has said about the matter, not what other people have done. Say, well, Ruth was okay, and so was Rahab, and yeah, well, all right, we're going to talk about that in just a second here. The point I want to get across right here is God is the lawgiver. God's God. He's the one who says yay or nay. We don't, and that's where we get our moral authority. We don't get it from what good men have done and bad men have done. We don't make up what's right and wrong and laws accordingly, according to what people have done, no matter who they are. You know, let me just throw this in here. I got time to chase around a few little rabbits. But there's this historical thing in Wayne County. Pretty neat. I like history and all that. Well, the guy that does that, he wrote a thing. It's been 2 or 3 years ago. But there was a man in Wayne County who was the man back in the late 1800s and early, well, no, he didn't live that long, late 1800s. But anyway, he was an adulterer. And he built the railroad, old Greenville. He was the main man. Everybody in town was employed by him. All the little towns around where he ran spurs for the timber and everything. Everybody, everything circled around him. And so everybody depended on him. And he got murdered in the act with his sister-in-law. And so he was a big name. And so in the papers and everything, this guy put the papers, what the papers said. You know what they said? David had his weaknesses. Solomon had his weaknesses. Yes. That was in 1899. They excused him and justified him because David did that. And Solomon did that. You see what people are, how they tend to take their cues from men instead of from God. God said that stuff requires a death penalty. That's what it deserves. And men say, well, everybody's, we're all sinners, you know. We all got our weakness. I mean, look at them. And they did it, and God still loved them, and so it's okay. No, it's not okay. No matter what these exceptions you find in the Bible about the marriage, the restrictions that God put on marriage, you better believe God. You're gambling at the very best. You go outside of God. I know God said that, but I mean, look at that one. He didn't. Maybe you don't know everything. This is how it was. Maybe you don't know how that marriage really turned out. What it was really like behind the closed doors. God's our lawgiver, not the examples of sinful men and women. And God suffered the people to do a lot of things in the Old Testament. Like, you know, Moses suffered them to put their wives away with a bill of divorcement. Say, I'm done with you. Bye. That's New Testament that says that. Jesus said that because of the hardness of their hearts. So don't you take your cue of Moses marrying an Ethiopian, meaning that it's all right for you or your children or anybody else too. We're in an age of grace here. And we have a much greater and clearer revelation of God. See, most people think they take what I just said and they take it as a license. They do, don't they? Well, this age of grace. We're under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. That means we can sin freely, they think. It's just the opposite.
That's right.
The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present evil world. That's what grace does. It don't cover your sins. It don't make God more soft on your sin. It makes you know better that it's wrong to do it. The Holy Ghost living in you guides you into all truth. Convicts you of sin and all of that. There's less excuse for us to do wrong here than it was for them. So we know. Let me tell you something. A lot of us were married before we were truly saved. And God has shown us mercy. And let me tell you something. The miracle of truly being born again has allowed our marriages to survive. Even though they were entered into the wrong way. You just better say praise God right there instead of saying, well, then he did it for you, he can do it for me. You might not be so fortunate. I came from a different world. You know, our family didn't go to church and all that, but there was no divorce in our family. Nowhere. I grew up with an understanding that when you're married, you're married. I mean, you get married and that's it. You don't get unmarried. I have never, in our 45 years, I have never sat around and seriously thought about leaving her. It never entered my mind. Have I ever been aggravated? Oh my goodness sakes, life. She has made me so mad before. I've known other people that pull knives on their spouse and pulled a shot. I was telling y'all the other day about that woman down there. You know, they was a fighting and he ran out on the porch and I guess he cussed her or something and he jumped off the porch and hit the ground. He said, when I hit the ground, I heard the shotgun go. You know, she had a shotgun fixing. We never got that far. But I've put my fist through walls. I've busted doors. I'm glad that's all over. You don't want that. You don't want to get married and have that kind of a time. Now, no marriage is going to be, I'll get to that in a second here, but man, you want to be happy. The day you get married, you think you're going to be happy, don't you? You're sure of it. All these people that are sitting there going, I saw a thing and it was in the Old West and I told her, I showed her here last night or whenever it was. But anyway, this man, 40 years old, he had 15 kids and his wife died. He's a widower. He married this 18-year-old girl. Now, how do you think her folks felt about that? 18-year-old girl married this 40-year-old man with 15 children. You think she knew what she's doing? No. That's why he had to pick an 18-year-old. Ain't no older woman going to... They're going to... find somebody that didn't know what they were doing. It's telling you the truth. Did we know what we were doing? Of course not. And, you know, we didn't have any of the instruction and all that y'all have had. My goodness, it's just so... We lived in a different time. And everybody took so much for granted. It just... You just got married. I graduated in 1975 from this school right over here. That's the year you were born, Mike. My class, the kids I graduated with, there's only a couple, maybe three, out of the class that I know of that got divorced. Almost all of the kids that I went to school with from the first grade on got married. They've been married all these years, just like we have. Had their families. 2 or 3 years later, like my youngest brother, he graduated, well, he didn't graduate, he quit. But 4 years behind me, every one in his class has been divorced and remarried and divorced and shacking and everything else. That's how things changed. I mean, everybody just took for granted that you understood and you believed and that's the way it would work. And I'm just telling you that it's a miracle that we're even here. Let's tell you. You don't even know. And you don't want to take the chance. The only thing that is the difference is God. If it weren't for God, we wouldn't be here. Promise you that. We're warned in the last days, these ideas that marriage is a bad thing are going to prevail. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. This is familiar verses too, but now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know not the truth. The marks, one of the marks of these doctrines of devils and everything that are going to be in the last days is forbidding to marry. The entertainment media has been giving the public a brainwashing for the last several decades. You think of all these wholesome TV shows and movies through the years of the last several decades, they've all portrayed marriage as an undesirable thing. Is that right? Yeah. Now, who all was married on Andy Griffith? It was always to be avoided, wasn't it? It was a thing. No. Why? God says it's honorable. God says where all the blessings of life come from. It's how we're to be happy in life. Because it's just like I preached Wednesday night, the devil is a liar. And the lie is his tool. And he's been using it all along. It's been portrayed as something like prison or bondage and misery. Hasn't it?
Yep.
It's a joke. We laugh about it. But I remember when we laughed at the sodomites too. When they started coming out of the closet and it was a joke. Ha ha ha, funny, stupid, my goodness, what, that'll never go nowhere. Yeah, I remember that too. I remember that. And I remember now, I can go back and think, how did this bad attitude toward marriage develop? Well, people were brainwashed for years and years and years and generations. And no matter how long I preach this morning and tell you over and over that God says it's honorable and it is the will of God and it's the way to live and it's the best way to live, still going to have a negative attitude in there about it. At the same time, they promoted marriage outside of the bounds that God has established for His people, just like I talked about a while ago. Is that right? The world's promoting anything. Men and men, and women and women, and one guy married his computer, and, you know, yeah. And all the rest of this stuff. Now the big deal is men go to Russia or somewhere else to get a wife. Yeah, or the Philippines. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You're crazy. There is something wrong with it. God says it's wrong. And I've read you enough scripture, you ought to believe that. I've been around some of them too. And I can just tell you this, it ain't what they want you to believe that it is. Now, so the ground has been prepared for several generations now to make marriage an undesirable negative thing. Now when men and women forsake the ways of God in every other area of life, they're going to forsake the ways of God in the matter of marriage. And when they do this in any matter of life, the thing that God designed for a blessing is turned into a curse. That's just the way it works. What God gives us as a blessing, when we try to use it contrary to the way He meant for us to use it, it turns into a curse. It becomes poison to us. That's right. The fact that 60-70%, and I believe it's probably more than that, of the marriages fail now. And they tell me, I've read, that it's about the same percentage in the churches as it is in the world. Most, 2/3 of the marriages end in divorce within 2 or 3 years. The reason, though, that they fail is not because marriage is a bad thing. It's because people are not getting married in the will of God.
That's right.
Say amen right there. That is the truth. And it's because people are basing their marriage on their lust and their emotions instead of the vows that they make to one another and to God. How many of them even consider that anymore? I vowed to God. It means nothing. They write their own vows now. Everybody writes their own. You know that's a big deal. Preacher used to have a book and had the vows in it.
Yeah.
No, they don't want that. No, don't cut that old baby. Cut that out. I got one of my cousin's daughters came to me several years ago and she wanted me to marry. And I really figured it was going to be a bust because I didn't think she'd swallow this. But, you know, they started in about the vows. And I told them, I said, well, now if you're going to... I said, what about obey? And she said... Well, that's okay with me. I said, well, all right, good. Because if you weren't going to cut that out, then I was going to tell you to go get somebody else to marry you. That's right.
Yep.
And boy, the women don't like that anymore. Wonder who they've been influenced by. What if the man just, what if he just cut out that cherish and honor? No. All right. Well, let's move on here. They based their marriage on lust and emotions instead of the vows they made to one another and to God. How many people you think go back to those vows? You really shouldn't have to go back once you've made a vow. I mean, you're committed. That's it. I'm married. It's my wife. It's my husband. You know, off the market. Ain't no none of that stuff. Now, marriage, no marriage is going to be without any trouble or challenges. Now, we know that. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that. I've had people tell me, my wife and I have never had a fight. And man, you need your mouth washed out with soap because you're lying. I know you're lying. Don't tell me that. Maybe he redefined fight. You know, it was knives and guns and coming to blows. We never fought like that. No, no marriage is going to be without any trouble or challenges. If I could write a book, the world could not contain it of all the things that we've run into all through the years, especially in the first years. It's a time. It takes a while for things to. For you to figure things out. We hadn't been married for, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 weeks. And I come around the corner and I look in the bathroom and she's brushing her teeth. With my toothbrush. I said, what are you doing? Well, I didn't think it made any difference. And I said, well, yes it does. There's your toothbrush. Here's my toothbrush. Don't do that. I never dreamed she'd do something like that. Do you there's this thing about the toothpaste. You know, a lot of people, they just squeeze it and leave, you know how they do. I've got a little thing I put on there and slide it up. I keep it all up to them, but forget it. I mean. Well, she can tell stuff on me after a while, but. You know, I don't want to get too personal, but let me just tell you something here. You know, it's both ways. We laid in the night bed one night. We hadn't been married 2 years. She said, I'm leaving. I'm looking for a place to go. Well, I guess I was a little bit hard to get along with back then. We didn't solve our problems. I talked her out of it, but we didn't solve the problems that night. It's hard for you to imagine, isn't it? You marry right, you won't have to have that kind of issues in your life. What were we? You were 19?
I was 5.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've told you before. There's a lot of those things that I don't know how in the world we got by. It's just like after you get saved and you look back and you think of all the places where you like to fell off the cliff and God kept you from doing it. That's just how it is. Marry right. Those who marry because it's the will of God, they will stick it out. And they'll make the best of it as long as they possibly can. If it does fail, it'll be because it was pried out of their hand, not because they tossed it to the wind when it got a little difficult. And I believe that's right. There's times when it just happens. I know people, man, I have known people very well who did not want it to happen. They didn't want it to end. They didn't want their wife to leave them, their husband to leave them. And they did everything in under the sun they could to stop it from happening, and it happened anyway. A person like that is not at fault. And in my view, they're not guilty before God. Now, you throw away the best thing that God has given us. You just throw it away lightly, you're guilty before God. If you've not, until you've exhausted every effort to save this thing, then you'll be guilty when you stand before God. Only those who treat marriage as holy matrimony. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Elizabeth, do you remember if you guys' marriage license says holy matrimony?
It does.
Okay, I was trying to remember because it was different than ours. Ours had a Bible open on it and, you know, it had places for the minister to sign and everything. And it was a big holy matrimony. They've cheapened it down a lot now. It doesn't look anything like it did back then. They've subtracted things from it that ought to still be there. But only those who treat marriage as holy matrimony will know the fulfillment of life here on this earth. A life of fornication and adultery, even if accompanied by wealth and fame and ease and pleasure, gives a miserable reward here in this life. Let me tell you, those people are not happy. They want everybody to think they are. And they want everybody to think they're the coolest. And the got it the best. But they're not. They're not. It's the couple that endures life together and ends up together at the end, loving one another, full of the blessings of life, the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. There's no comparison to the value of that and the blessing of that and the reward of that compared to these people that just never get out of their adolescence. Marriage gives us a way to understand the love of God toward us in ways that are impossible without it. Let me tell you something else. That is the thing right there that's got us through the hardest things in our life, in our marriage, is realizing. I mean, I had to go to that more than once. People did. And that gave me, I mean, that's what opened my understanding, being married, of what God's done for me and how He deals with me, how He forgives me, how He's forgiven me. I've learned that from being married and encountering the things that come with that life. I wouldn't have learned it any other way. So marry. But marry in the will of God. And understand that it is forever. For better or for worse. In sickness and in health. Until death do us part. You know, you said you were talking to me about a situation, you know, and that it's no good. People get married and they think they're doing it right because they narrowed their qualifications and their restrictions, you know, down to some meaningless things. Went ahead and got married. Be all right. No, it ain't all right. It's a life of fear, misery, unhappiness, instability. Everything's is just a nightmare. Preacher said so many times that old Brother Burns, he always said that if you marry wrong, you're wrong all your life. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that. God is good and God is forgiven and God can take a mess and salvage something good out of it. Yes, He can. But there's just nothing to compare to getting married when you're young and staying married for a lifetime. Sticking it out. Keeping your vows. Loving one another on purpose. Because you have to. I mean, I promise to do this. You promise to love them. And, you know, the way it works is you just live with them and you're around them and it just kind of happens. People that fight all the time, they just get tired of fighting eventually. Or they split up. the way it happens. Oh man, I'd like to say a lot more. There's much more to be said.
Yep.
Marriage is honorable.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I'm glad I'm married. Glad I'm married to her. Glad we're still married. She have any gripes about me? Oh yeah, some. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm a pretty good guy now.
Turn it around.
You get to a point, and it ought to be this way from the beginning. You shouldn't have to learn this after you get married. And going into it, you ought to go into it with this attitude. Make life easier. Make life happy for them. That's the way it'll work. You go into it like a Adolf Hitler, it ain't going to work. You go into it trying to make everything your way, it's just not going to work. Marriage is not a platoon of soldiers. It's not. And love and honor is part of the deal. We were talking the other day, and she said, why did those old people back in the old West like that? Why, seemed like they always married younger women. I said, they wore them out. Said, yeah. Really? It was hard for a woman back then. They had to work hard and have one baby after another baby after another baby after another baby. And everything they did was hard labor, washing clothes, cooking meals on a wood stove with a... Oh my. And by the time they were 30 years old, they were old. I'm just rambling now. But it's, husbands, love your wives.
Yep.
Wives, see that you reverence your husband. You love your husband too.
Yep.
It's the best way to live. The best. Marriage is honorable and all. And it's the will of God.
That's right.
Amen. All right, bow with me and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this truth. Lord, there's so much more that needs saying. There's no end to it, really. I pray that you'd bless every home here, each marriage, each family, these young ones that are looking to that in the near future. I pray that you would help them and guide them, and Lord, that they would put you in front of everything and allow you to work it out for them. And Lord, I pray that they wouldn't have to in their life suffer the things that some of the rest of us have suffered because of our ignorance and carelessness. And Lord, I pray they could get married and have a blessed, happy, fruitful, joy-filled life, serving you and being a blessing in this world. Pray you bless our homes that are represented here, and that each one would cherish one another. And Lord, that these children could all grow up in the right kind of atmosphere, the kind you intended, where mom and dad love one another, and they're together because they love one another, and because they've vowed before you to live their life as you ordained man and wife. Lord, please help us to ponder these things, study deeper into these things, and obey them. And I pray you'd bless the word to heart now in Jesus' name. Amen.